the body and those who may not be members of the body, the church that you can read about in the New Testament. We want to encourage you to study and think seriously about the church that Jesus died for in order that we might have an eternal home with God in heaven. So thank you for being here. Thank you for accepting the invitation if you were invited or if you just decided to come on your own. Certainly, we think that was a good decision. So feel welcome to be with us today. And again, we will be having a senior citizen program after the service this morning, brief, and then we're going to have a wonderful meal. And so stay around and just enjoy all that you can with us on this day. Again, we thank God for all of our being here. Galatians chapter 1, and the verses that were read were 6 through 9. I want to share this lesson with us this morning. Beware of a perverted gospel. Beware of a perverted gospel. The word pervert means to alter something from its original course, a meaning, a state, to a distortion, a corruption of what was first intended. As Paul writes to these Christians here in the area of Galatia, he warns them of the danger of being persuaded to follow anything other than the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. They were being taught by some that they needed to keep the law of Moses, especially that part that had to do with circumcision, as well as the law of Christ. Thus, they would be listening to a perverted or twisted gospel. Again, the word pervert means to alter, to change something from its original meaning. And it would become distorted and corrupted from that which was first intended. The good news of the gospel tells us that Christ has freed us from the Old Testament law, and for one to seek to go back to it meant that one has fallen from grace. Galatians 5 and verse 4 points that out. It is no wonder then that he says in verse number 6 that I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They had been called unto the grace of Christ. It was by Christ's grace that they had been made free from the law. And yet these people that were going around behind the apostles, teaching them that you need to go back to that which you have been called from. You have been called from the law. You have been freed from the law. And now they're telling you that you need to go back. Paul says, I'm amazed. I am surprised that you're doing that so quickly. So we need to this morning be aware of a perverted gospel. There are those going around in our world today, the religious world, teaching a perverted gospel, changing from what was originally intended or meant, making it say and mean something else. We have to be careful at who we listen to. Why then do we need to be aware of a perverted gospel? Well, number one, it claims to be a gospel, that is the perverted gospel. It claims to be a gospel, but in reality, it is not. I want us to look at a couple of passages that were read by Brother Greg in our text this morning from a couple of other translations. And listen to how it is phrased. First, look at the Amplified Version. If we could put that up there, the Amplified Version, how it renders it. It says, I am surprised and astonished that you are so quickly turning renegade and deserting him who invited and called you by the grace, unmerited favor, of Christ, the Messiah, and that you are transferring your allegiance. They had become loyal to Christ. They had obeyed the gospel of Christ. That's what that word allegiance means. They had become loyal to Christ. But now, because they were listening to these Judaizing teachers, they were being persuaded to transfer their loyalty or transfer their allegiance to a different, even an opposition gospel. Do we want to oppose the gospel of Christ? Because if you oppose the gospel of Christ, you are opposing God. And y'all know what I say, Northwest. When you oppose God, you'll never win. You'll never win. You are opposing the gospel to a different gospel. Now, look at what the Good News translation says along this line. It says this, I am surprised at you. In no time at all, you are deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are accepting another gospel. But then the next verse says this, actually, there is no other gospel. I want to tell us this morning, there is no other gospel other than the gospel of Christ. But I say this because there are some people who are upsetting you, and I want to say this. We ought to become upset when folks tell us something different from what the gospel of Christ says, because it does our soul no good to believe or accept something other than the gospel of Christ. So he says, there are some people who are upsetting you and are trying to change. That's that word pervert again. Change the gospel of Christ. There are people still today who are trying to change the gospel of Christ. But the gospel of Christ will not change. It's just like Jesus. The same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. The true gospel will never change. But there are folks that will attempt to change it, twist it, pervert it, and will upset those who really know what the gospel is and will not give heed to it. But many people are giving heed to a perverted gospel. So we need to be aware of a perverted gospel because it claims to be a gospel, but it truly is not a gospel. A perverted gospel falls in the same category as commandments of men. Because that's what these Judaizing teachers, they were saying something different from what the gospel of Christ says. So it came from man and not from God. So a perverted gospel, a changed gospel, a different gospel, which is actually no gospel, falls in the same category as commandments of men. And you know what the commandments of men do? The Bible says in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that do what? turn from the truth. If I give heed, if you give heed to a commandment of man, and that is to something other than what God says in his word, then I am turned, you are turned, away from the truth. Now, why is that important? It's important because it is the truth, and only the truth, that will free our souls and make us free from sin. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 8 and verse number 32. He says, and you shall know the truth. And the truth, what? Shall make you free. And that's what the gospel had done for these Galatian Christians. The truth of the gospel. It had made them free from that old law. Because the old law could not save in the first place. It was not designed to save people. It was only designed, it was put in, the Bible says, to point out man's transgressions and to lead people to Christ. So once I'm led to Christ, through the grace of Christ, through the gospel of Christ, I don't need the law. And so that's what these people were trying to do, trying to turn these Galatian Christians back to something that enslaved them and kept them in bondage. Yes, indeed. We got it on, Brother Norman. It must not be operating back there or something. So the gospel of Christ had freed them from that old law and had freed them, of course, from their sins. So they were walking in truth. So if they would allow somebody to turn them away from the truth, then they would be turned from their freedom and turned from their salvation. And that Paul didn't want to happen. You and I ought not ever want to lose, and I know we don't, lose our salvation. But we'll lose it if we give heed to the commandments of men, if we give heed to a changed gospel, to a perverted gospel. Somebody said, well, you mean people really do that today? Yes, indeed, they will. Notice what 1 John chapter 4 says, and verse number 1. It says this. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. And anybody who would change or attempt to change the true gospel of Christ is a false prophet or a false teacher. You don't need to follow a false teacher. You need to follow the truth of God's word. We need to place what we are taught beside the word of God and make sure what we are taught is the same thing that the word of God says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Now, what does that imply to us? That if we are to hold fast to that which is good, it implies that there are some things that are not good. A perverted gospel, a change, or attempted to change the gospel is not a good thing to hold on to. We need to hold on to the true, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan, then, is glad to use a false teacher to advance his agenda. The agenda of Satan is to derail all of our salvation. I would say to us this morning, don't let Satan derail your salvation. We've been made free in Christ. Then hold on to the true gospel of Christ. And don't let Satan derail us. The Bible says this concerning Satan, who once was in heaven, by the way. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 9. Notice what the book says. The book says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That's Satan's purpose, is to deceive the whole world. In other words, to make you think something that's not true, make you think it's true. So don't let Satan deceive you. So number one, we should beware of a perverted gospel because it really is not a gospel. It's just a twisted. It's people have come in and attempted to change the true gospel and have taken the original meaning and have made it mean something else. Number two, and I've said some of this already, as to the reason why we need to be aware of a perverted gospel, is because it leads one soul to damnation. And again, we don't want our souls to be damned. We don't want to lose our salvation. But a perverted gospel, that is, if we obey it, if we believe it and obey it, it will lead to our souls damnation. Why do I say that? Because God's power to save lies within the gospel, the true gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, Paul said this to the church at Rome. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? For it, the gospel, not a perverted gospel, but the true gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Every man that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So God's power to save you and to save me, to save the world, lay within the gospel, the true gospel, the word of God. Well, sometimes people have a problem with the gospel because it's based on the cross. And sometimes people look at the cross. You're talking about a cross. What will a cross do for me? Look at what Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. He says, for the preaching of the cross is what? To them that perish, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the what? Power of God. Why is that so? Because the cross is the message of the gospel. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he would say that I preach to you, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins and how he was buried and how he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's the preaching of the cross. Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. So the gospel is based on the cross. But Paul says to the Corinthians again that for the preaching of the cross to some is foolishness. But to us who are saved, or who believe in that true gospel and are saved by it, is the what? Power of God. I don't care how crazy you think the preaching of the cross is. That's what God uses to save folks. And so he says in verse number 21 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So you call the preaching of the cross foolish, God still used what you call foolish to save folks. And let me go on and hasten and say this. Many folks say the preaching of the one church is foolishness. But I want to tell you, from the word of God, you will find that God used what you call foolish, preaching of the one church, to save folks and get them to heaven. So I would say to us, don't listen to a perverted gospel, but you make sure that you listen to the true gospel. Somebody said, well, the preacher said it, that it's all right to do this, to do that. My leader says it's all right to do this or do that. Well, I want to tell us this morning that we need to be aware again of what somebody tells us to do. You make sure, again, that you line up what they say. Yea, even what I'm saying this morning, you line it up against the scriptures. And if I'm saying something different from what the Scripture says, then you go with the Scripture. But if I'm saying exactly what the Scripture says, you need to go again with the Scripture. Yeah, you're going with what I'm saying, but actually you're going with what the Scripture says. You're in danger if you blindly follow somebody just because you have respect for them, you love them, maybe your kinfolks, or whatever the case may be. When you blindly follow somebody just for that reason, you are setting your soul up to be lost if they're leading you in the wrong direction. In Old Testament times, Israel was one in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 16. Look at what it says, if you will. He says up there, "For the leaders of this people caused them to what? Err." And that's exactly what the Judaizing teachers were trying to do to the Galatian Christians. They were trying to cause them, as a matter of fact, some of them, it is implied, had given in to what these teachers were teaching. So he said, the leaders of this people caused them to err, and they that are led of them are what? Destroyed. Can you stand before God in the last day and claim that, well, Brother Brent said this, so that's why I did it? Oh, you need to say, you said it, Lord, in your word, and that's why I did it. When your life line up with what God's word says, we're all right. But if it does not line up with what God's word says, we are in trouble. And Isaiah wanted these people to know, by inspiration of the Spirit, that they were in trouble by just blindly following their leaders. You know, Jesus would come on the scene hundreds of years later, 600 plus years later than when Isaiah wrote this. And he would say something basically the same thing. In Matthew chapter 15, in verse number 14, he says, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind." Dennis talked about this morning in Sunday school. "They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Now, we can see how that happens in reality. If I'm blind, and I'm leading you, Travis, and you blind, you got my hand, and I'm walking, and I fall down into the ditch. We both going down there. Now, folks can see that from a physical standpoint, but the same thing applies in the spiritual standpoint. And that's what he was talking about, the spiritual standpoint. If the blind lead the blind, they both will fall into the ditch. So don't follow a blind leader. Make sure that what that person is saying is in accordance with the word of God. So number one, again, we need to beware of a perverted gospel because it claims to be a gospel, but it's really not a gospel. Number two, we need to beware because it leads to one's soul being damned. Lastly, this morning, I want to give a few examples of a perverted gospel, of a change, something that has been altered from its original meaning, and it has become corrupted or distorted, and we don't want to follow that. You ever heard of this? One being saved by faith only? That's a perverted gospel. That's a perverted gospel. And you know, devil is switch. I mean, he's smooth. He'll use a little truth, then he'll mix in some error. And because a little truth is there, then he'll deceive you in thinking that all of it is true. Now, faith is in the equation to being saved, but not faith alone. That's where the problem lies. But folks will come along and say that you're saved by faith only. It takes faith to save. As a matter of fact, we can never please God without faith. We know what the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." You and I want to please God, don't we? We Well, that scripture tells us we got to do it by faith. But then it goes on and says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, do we seek him by faith alone? Or do we seek him through what the faith or what the word of God teaches us? Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. So we need to go to God's word and determine what he wants us to do in our lives, putting our belief in him that he will reward us when we do what he tells us to do. Romans 10:17 says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we hear what God's word says, we put our faith in what God's word says, and we live according to what his word says, then we have every ounce of confidence to believe that he will reward us. And that's what that verse is all about. So if we're going to please God, it must be by faith, but it's not by faith only. We must couple faith with obedience, and that's called works. That's not works, our works, but that's the work of God. So when we do the work of God, that is, when we do what God tells us in his word, then we'll please God. You see, faith without works is dead. James tells us that by inspiration. James 2:19, he says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. You're doing all right, believing that there is one God. As a matter of fact, that scripture tells us that we got to believe that he is. You're doing well. But then he says this, the devils also believe. Are they doing well? No. That's why Satan and those angels that were cast out of heaven, they didn't do too well. So he said, the devils believe also, but they tremble. Verse 20 says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Faith without obedience, faith without doing what God say is dead. It does not profit us anything. But yet folks will go around and say, you can be saved by faith only. That's a perverted gospel. When somebody follow that, they are turning away from the grace of Christ that they have been taught through the gospel, and they are turning to something that's going to damn their souls. It takes an obedient faith to save. Somebody else comes along, and they give you this bit of a perverted gospel. They say baptism does not save, or is not necessary to be baptized to be saved. That's a perverted gospel. The Bible never taught that. As a matter of fact, it teaches just the opposite. Jesus, who is the Savior of the world, and if you believe the Bible like I believe the Bible, I know you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Because Matthew 1:21 says, he shall save his people from their sins. That's why they call his name Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. So he's the Savior of the world. So listen to what the Savior of the world said. The Savior of the world says in Mark 16:15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Who said that? The Savior. Now, if the Savior said that, I believe the Savior meant that. Because the Savior doesn't lie. Because the Savior is God. Hebrews 1 teaches us that he's God. So he does not lie. So if he says, I must be baptized, I must be baptized. So if I'm not baptized, certainly I won't be saved. But the religious world will come along and say, there's nothing to baptism. It's just water. You know, what's in the water? I don't see anything in the water. Bible never told us to see anything there. He tells us just to do it. We got to have faith in it. As a matter of fact, faith is something that you really don't see anyway. It's the evidence of things hoped for. And what else? And the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Has anybody seen heaven? No. But we believe there is a heaven, don't we? That's why we're here this morning, because we want to go to heaven. But we haven't seen it. So faith, then, is the evidence of things not seen. So if I could put my faith in going to heaven and I haven't seen it, why can't I put my faith in being baptized even though I don't see anything in the water? But God says, do it. Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, I can tell us a few things that baptism does for us. Through Jesus Christ, of course. Acts 22 and verse number 16. It washes our sins away. Acts 2 and verse 38. It forgives our sins. That's why Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. If our sins are never forgiven, we'll never be able to please God. But the true gospel of Christ teaches us that we must be baptized in order for our sins to be forgiven. And we want to get to where salvation is, and salvation is in Christ, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. But you know what puts us in Christ? Baptism. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26 and 27, the Bible says, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us, many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Baptism puts us in Christ. Everybody needs to be in Christ, because that's where salvation is. If we never get where it is, we'll never have it. No wonder Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So don't give in to a perverted gospel that tells you that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. And then here's another example of a perverted gospel. There are people that teach that there are multiple ways to be saved. That's a perverted gospel. The truth of the gospel teaches that there's only one way to be saved. And that is, we must do what Jesus said. There are as many ways of being saved, church, as there are Christ. How many Christs are there? One Christ. He's Lord. Acts 2 and verse 36 called him Lord. Ephesians 4 and verse number 5 teaches us that there is one Lord. There is one Christ. So there are as many ways of being saved as there are Christ. Since there is just one Christ, there is just one Lord, there is just one way to be saved. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, he says, I am the what? I am the way, I'm the truth, and I am the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you want to be saved, if you want to get to heaven, Jesus said, you got to come by me. You got to do what I say. Not what man said. The Judaizing teachers were teaching the Galatian Christians and had persuaded some of them, evidently, that they needed to go back and submit to the law of circumcision as well as keep the law of Christ. Paul says when you do that, Galatians 5:4 again, you've fallen from grace. And if we're saved by grace through faith, grace is in the equation. If it were not for the grace, we would not be saved. So if you've fallen from grace, you've fallen from that which saved you. No wonder he would say, I'm surprised that you have turned your back so soon from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there are some that are troubling you. They are perverting the gospel of Christ. Don't listen to a perverted gospel. Jesus says again that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So whatever Jesus says, that's what we got to obey. Multiple ways, multiple churches. Jesus died for one. Ephesians 4, verse 4 says there is one body. Ephesians 1, 23 says the body is the body the church is the body of Christ. If there's one body, there's one church. He's the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5, 23. If you You want to be saved, you got to come Jesus' way. He has only one way of saving people. Then here's one other before I close. Once saved, always saved. You've heard that, I'm sure. That's a perverted gospel. That's man saying that. The Lord has never said that. He wants us to be once saved and always saved. But that's not the case, because there are examples in the scripture that admonishes us to keep on listening to Christ, keep on following Christ. Because if you don't, the same thing that happened to those folks that came through the wilderness will happen to us. They fell in the wilderness. They didn't make it to the promised land. And if we behave like they behaved, not putting our faith in Christ, in God and in Christ, and doing what his will teaches us to do, we're going to fall after the same example of unbelief. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says over there in Ephesians, or rather Hebrews chapter 3, down about verse 19, it talks about, you see then that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And the next chapter, the very first verse says, Ephesians 4 and verse number 1, it says, basically it says the same thing will happen to us that happened to them. Because the gospel was preached to them, but they did not mix it with faith. So we've got to mix it with faith, that obedient faith, doing the will of God. Yes, the same thing will happen to us. They fell in the wilderness. We'll lose our salvation. Once saved, you're not necessarily always saved. That's the scripture there. I therefore. It should have been Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. But I've told you the gist of what it says. He says that you need to obey the Lord, because the same thing will happen to you that happened to them. But you know what? A great example is pointed out in Jude. Jude, verse number 5. Put that one up there, if you will. Jude, verse number 5. He says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having done what? Save the people out of the land of Egypt. Afterward, what? After he saved them. After they got out of there, after they came on across the Red Sea, they got out there in the wilderness, and they stopped believing. Afterward, destroyed them that believed not. Now, if that's not an example of being once saved, doesn't mean always saved, I don't know what is. That's why Jude says, I'm going to put you in remembrance of this. He has started off the chapter by saying, I want you to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That faith was, again, the gospel system. You got to contend for the gospel, for the word of God. Obey the word of God. Because if you don't obey the word of God, the same thing will happen to you that happened to those folks that came out of the wilderness. God brought them out of the wilderness. I brought them out of Egypt. Got them on out there in the wilderness. They stopped believing. Then he destroyed them. You can go back there in the book and you can read it. He destroyed them. Everybody that was over 20 years of age that came out of Egypt, except Joshua and Caleb, every one of them fell in the wilderness because of their unbelief. So once saved does not necessarily mean you're always saved. Because the scripture says in Revelation 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Got to be faithful how long? Unto death. Not faithful for a while. Don't come to church just for a while. That ain't good enough. You got to be faithful in coming. Not give for a while. You got to be faithful in giving. Not love for a while. You got to be faithful and loving all the way. Not forgiving for a while, but you got to be faithful and forgiving all the way. Don't be like those folks that came out of Egypt. They did all right until they got out in the wilderness and they started murmuring and complaining. God destroyed them. Beware, brothers and sisters, of a perverted gospel. Stick with the true gospel. Stick with what you know the Bible teach. Follow what Jesus say. Listen to him. Obey his will. Become a member of his church and be faithful in his church unto death. And you can be sure that you go home to live with him throughout the ceaseless ages. I hope I've helped somebody this morning. I hope if I didn't help anybody, I helped myself. To be faithful to the Lord. Because I want to be saved and I know you want to be saved. Don't listen to a perverted gospel. Stick with the true gospel. Because that perverted gospel is no gospel at all. Faith only is no gospel at all. Once saved, always saved, that's not the true gospel. Multiple ways to be saved, that's not the true gospel. But stick with the gospel of Christ, the Word of God. We couldn't miss heaven even if we wanted to if you stick with the Word of God. But I know we don't want to miss it. So I'm saying to you this morning, if there be one or more who have not obeyed the true gospel of Jesus Christ and become a member of the true church that the Lord built, I want to encourage you to do that this morning. The true gospel says that one must hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. The true gospel says one must repent of his past sins, Luke 13:3. The true gospel says one must confess that Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. The true gospel says one must be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. The true gospel says that when one does that, the Lord will add them to the church. But you know what a perverted gospel will say? The perverted gospel will say, just accept the Lord as your personal Savior and then join the church of your choice. That's a perverted gospel. Don't listen to that. Listen to what the Bible says. Once becoming a member of the body of Christ, then live faithfully unto death. The true gospel says that, as I've already said. A perverted gospel will say you can go to church and be faithful when you feel like it. You don't go to work like that, do you? You go to work many days when you don't feel like it. True gospel says, be faithful unto death. Are you here then this morning? Having been deceived by a perverted gospel, are you willing to turn loose that and submit yourself to the true gospel of Jesus Christ? Let the Lord add you to his church, the one you can read about in the New Testament. Would you come this morning then? Are you here this morning a member of the body of Christ? Realizing that you need to change your way of living. Whatever way it was that's wrong according to the will of God, you need to change it. Because again, Jesus says, except you repent, you're going to perish. You need to confess of it in every way. Would you come? If you need prayer for some particular reason, would you come? Whatever your need is this morning, while we stand, while we sing, would you come? And I'm from the